You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the best city in the world, the best baseball city in front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Left, it is high, it is far, it is gone! Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast. We have episode number 142. The start of May is now underway. It is May 1st. The Yankees just finished their first month of baseball. And Tyler, welcome. It's the other side of the Zoom room.
What's up, Rob?
Let's just say we were discussing potentially recording yesterday after their horrendous 15-1 loss. I was also at the New York Knicks game for game one of the Miami Heat. Them at the Garden, and then the Knicks blew that lead yesterday and blew that game. So I'll just say I am very glad we decided to record today, because I think I would have been even 10 times worse talking
about
the Yankees.
Feelings have changed, though.
I don't think so. Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that at all.
But I would have been fired up.
I think it would have been a different level of frustration, especially being there, and I was upset with that loss. But I was... After the game, I went to the bar with my buddy, and I go on and I turn the TV, or I look at the TV screen and I go, "You have to be effing kidding me."
Was that really the first time you checked the score?
Yeah, I didn't.
Because when you texted me, I thought you were just telling me, like, "Oh, look, dude, Yanks lost, getting even worse."
No, I it was the first time I looked at the score. I didn't look at my phone. I was focused on the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And they're down 15-1. Are you
two
kidding
touchdowns,
me?
Rob.
They stink.
What is that?
Baseball, bro.
It's not baseball, and the way that this team has looked. I'll just preface this episode by saying this: we're not going to run through the games, because I think there's
no need
no need to, and I think there's more pressing just to address the team. I think in the past episodes we've been somewhat mostly optimistic when it comes to this team, but I think for
this is like state of the Yankees right now.
This is an early state of the Yankees. We're a month in of baseball. I think we have to be open and honest about what's happening with this team, because it could get ugly really quick. Mm-hmm. I think
the fact that they're 15-14, Rob, is actually kind of nuts the way they've played the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I think the one thing that comes to mind for me, and I there's a lot of Yankee fans that are saying on social media, say, "Hey, it's only a month into baseball," and I understand that. I understand that there's a whole other 5 months to play. There's a lot of games left, and the saying is, you can't win the division in April, and you don't lose the division in April. But the way that
you can lose it.
But here's the thing: the way that the Yankees' schedule shapes up in May is a challenging schedule outside of only playing Oakland and Cincy, as I said to you before we started. Mm-hmm. They are playing Tampa 2 times. They are playing Baltimore. They are playing Toronto. They are playing Seattle. They are playing a lot of really quality teams. And the way that they are playing right now, they can get buried easily if they are not careful. And you could give me all, like, a lot of Yankees, you could give me all this optimism. There's still a lot of season left. Yes. But for me, I don't think this team is winning the division at this moment in time.
No,
I think Tampa's winning. This is just – that's out of the window for me. So, yes, the Yankees are not healthy. They need to get other pieces back. But the way that the 5-9 of the lineup looks is horrendous.
And that's the thing why I'm just not – the optimism is irrelevant to me, Rob, because a lot of times it's easy to be optimistic if you're like for example, just 2021, for example. Really annoying year to watch the Yankees, 92-win team at the end of the day. But it was easy to be optimistic about them because the whole team was there. And you're like, okay, statistically, these guys should hit at some point. So it's like it's fairly easy to be optimistic about it. This is the line. You're running out Willie Calhoun, Franchy Cordero, Aaron Hicks, IKF for the next month. So it's like this is the team. There's not like there's not reinforcements coming in. That's why I'm not buying the optimism right now. You're running out this lineup for the next month at the minimum. You're running out Clark, Brito, and Domingo for the next month at a minimum. So the optimism is kind of irrelevant to me because this is the depth. This is the team. When they get healthy, there's a fair chance it could be too late.
Yeah, no, that is definitely in the cards. And last time we spoke on this pod, we had, as I said, we're not going to run through the series, but Aaron Judge in a game versus the Twins went ahead and had an awkward slide. We thought he may have messed up his wrist. Okay, all good. Then next day, though, he takes a swing with in the Texas series, and he aggravates his hip. That's a and listen.
Still waiting on word of that too.
So we're still waiting on word. The thing with the Judge injury, like you said, that they're playing a lot of talented baseball clubs in the month of May, and in these next 2 weeks, their worst opponent is Oakland, but they play Tampa twice. So we don't know. We're hoping that it's only a few days and he doesn't have to be out for that long if he is going on the IL. But you're telling me you're playing Tampa twice and you're playing, I mean, Cleveland today, or Cleveland series starts today.
Good
teams. You're playing Tampa twice, and that is just, that's a recipe for disaster of you're going to get pushed back in the standings, and that you're working uphill the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, bro, the thing is in terms of immediate reinforcements, like within the next, I'll just call it 10 days, it's Harrison Bader and Aaron Judge. Judge, obviously, you know, that's irreplaceable. Like, we need Judge. Hopefully he can be back within the next 10 days. But, like, listen, Bader's really good. He had a really good postseason. If he hits to the back of his baseball card, dude, he's an average to below average hitter. So I don't think he's coming in and, like, saving the day necessarily.
No, he's not a saving grace for this offense. Yeah. I think he's better than what we have.
Yes, he's better than, like, the fact that Willie Calhoun is hitting fifth, and it's not even Willie Calhoun or Franchy Cordero's fault that they're in these positions, or Aaron Hicks.
We know whose fault it is. But.
Yeah, this is the fault of the front office. This is the depth they've created. And the players like Willie Calhoun, Franchy, IKF. IKF is literally the starting center fielder right now. They're in these positions, and they're performing to the back of their baseball cards. So I personally don't think, like, we should all be gung-ho mad at Willie Calhoun. You know, it's fun to pick on them and stuff, but they're playing the way they've played their whole career. They're just in positions where they don't belong. Like, Willie Calhoun should not be hitting cleanup for the New York Yankees in April.
No,
you know?
No way. So you mentioned the front office, and I think that's the whole big picture of what they're doing right now. So they're dealing with injuries, and you could say, well, maybe we'll just have to tap into a little 2019 next man up. Listen, what Cameron
There's no
Maben,
one else.
with what Cameron Maben, Mike Tauchman, Gio, Gardy, all those guys.
Even Matty Carps.
Matt Carpenter, not specifically on that team, but back in the day. Yeah. Of what that 2019 team did was nothing short of amazing of how they won 100 games.
Not normal.
That's not a normal thing. So, 2019 Yankees is not happening. I do not think that is happening with what they are throwing out there on a daily basis of these lineups. And it's consistently going out that you have Calhoun, Cordero, IKF in center, everything. So, it goes back to, listen, Brian Cashman in the offseason, They signed Rodon. We liked that move. You retained Aaron Judge. We needed that to happen.
You retained Anthony Rizzo.
And then we heard all of these conversations that we're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Well, you were done. And again, of what a lot of complaints have been on behalf of Yankee fans, of what I've said is Cashman seems to be scraping at the bottom of the barrel for these guys, and he gets Cordero, and he's saying, oh, well, you know, there could be some upside. We're thinking he could be the next Matt Carpenter. Well, guess what? He's not.
Yeah, not.
So, and sure, is that a direct thing from Hal's limited spending? That could be a thing, that Hal doesn't want to spend a certain amount of money on these guys, and he wants to keep the spend. Okay, that's what it is, but Maybe that
just take IKF, Hicks, and Donaldson's money and figure out how to disperse that in the offseason. Go get an outfielder.
But you also make a great point every time that we come on here. And you go, okay, well, Hal doesn't let him spend enough money. All right. But then you look at some of the allocation of funds of where they put the money. And you go,
it's bad.
Josh Donaldson, $20 million. IKF, $6 million. Past year, we're paying Aroldis Chapman close to whatever it was, 15
million. Yeah, 16.
You're paying
like that.
Zach Britton all 13. This money. We haven't even seen him pitch a game, but and I love Tommy Canely, but we're paying Tommy Canely to be on the 60-day IL for $11 million.
I think Lou Trevino is getting like 7 mil too. It's just non-factors everywhere.
So then you say, well, Hal is not letting him spend money, but the allocation of funds of where they're putting the money. Then you just say, well, does that make sense? And and it's a direct result, and we heard it all offseason. Oh, we're not done. Well, they are done, and now they're going to be looking at the scrap heap, and they're going to be looking for these guys that are wanting to be reclamation projects, similar to what Matt Carpenter was last year. We loved what Matt Carpenter did, but that's what the moves are going to be. And like you said, that's going to be the reinforcements that – get this team over the edge. And that is a slippery slope if they decide to do that. And you can only get away with it so much, in my opinion.
Exactly. And, Rob, they had one hole, you know, outside of re-signing Judge and Rizzo and doing what they had to do this offseason. Then, obviously, Rodon was the big money move that we're all, you know, I'm still excited about it. I still think he'll have a very good Yankee career as long as he's on the field. But the one hole they had to fill all offseason, and I said it, Rob, I go, there's no backup center fielder on this team. Aaron Judge is a backup center fielder. There's no center fielder on this team. There's no outfield depth on this team. The one move they had to make was get a left fielder or someone to play somewhere in the outfield. That's not Oswaldo. And we were fine with letting Oswaldo potentially take that role, but we were also reserved in the fact that we're saying, hey, you get an outfielder, just throw Waldo in the super utility role. He'll play 5 days a week. We don't mind that necessarily. But now you see what happens when you know, a couple injuries happen in the outfield. All of a sudden, you have no depth because you don't have a backup center fielder. You don't have an actual left fielder. All you have is Hurt Bader and Judge. And then when, you know, Stanton hits the IL, which is, unfortunately, it's a given. It's a fact of life at this point with Stanton. He's going to miss a little bit of time each year. When he's on the field, he's great, but he's going to miss a little bit of time. That's the yin and the yang with Stanton. But they had one hole to fill all offseason, or two if you count shortstop, but we knew that was going to be filled internally, so we're not too worried about that. One hole that you needed to fill externally through the free agent market or via trade, and that was left field. They didn't do it. They could have went after David Peralta. They could have went after Teoscar Hernandez, who was traded for whatever from the Jays. They could have went after Jock Peterson, who's getting paid $19 million on the Giants. They like Jock Peterson, boom. If you don't trade for Donaldson and you don't have IKF and Hicks on your team, Jock Peterson is free, you know? So these are things that just do not add up, and it's just a really bad representation of how to build a roster with any sort of depth. I tweeted out yesterday, Rob, and then I'm done with my rant. What is it called? Digress. I'll digress in a second. But I tweeted out yesterday. I said, I think Cash is good at finding bullpen arms and developing them. I think Cash is good at finding, you know, spot start players that can kind of give you a really good 70, 80, 90 games randomly. I think he's bad at roster construction, period. And that's that.
It's valid. It's valid. I don't know. I've always said he's a quality general manager. And I said in the offseason, I've been saying as a fan for the past 2 years, because I was a fan of Cashman. But listen, you wear out your welcome at some point. And I think that I wish that Hal took the leap of faith to say, I'm going to go out on my own and I'm going to find someone else. Because I mean, I'm sorry, they're the New York Yankees. I think that they have the capable resources to get other really
anyone would want that job
good
too.
Guys in there. And the way that it looks, we're just seeing the same thing, Groundhog Day. And that's what it is. And at a certain point, when you're trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel for these guys, it's going to catch up to you. You're not always going to get a 2019 Yankees. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're dealing with right now as Yankee fans. And
all they had to do was sign one bat, Rob. One or two bats, and you have a little bit of depth. Matt Carpenter. making $6 million this year. What's IKF making?
6.5
Yeah. Yeah, given Matt Carpenter as an he's a player option for next year. Even things like that.
Like, so, yeah.
You have Carp on this team, you could throw him in left field, you can throw him at third base, you can throw him at DH.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's just, like, with what Matt Carpenter's been doing so far for San Diego, I still think that the Yankees could have done. But you're right. I mean,
you can do better than that. I'm saying at the bare minimum, you grab one more bat.
Correct. Yeah, because, I mean, even Carpenter this year is having a very solid year. 3 home runs, 16 RBIs, 250 average, 369 on base, 907 OPS.
He'd be hitting
the
cleanup for us
This guy right now would be the star, you know, spotlight of what we're looking at. So, no, yeah, you're right.
And Rob, we also said it in the offseason, too. We're like, hey, man, we really want the kids to play, but does a World Series caliber team depend on three rookies?
Yeah, you said it. You said it or alluded to it, and I tweeted it out last Tuesday, and I got quite a bit of hatred.
We're getting torched for some stuff, yeah.
We are big fans of Oswaldo Cabrera, and we really wanted him in that super utility role because he is an amazing he has an amazing ability at different positions to play quality at that position. Mm-hmm. But listen, man, you just got to be honest about it. We love him, and he's a great personality, and I think he's a good Yankee to have. But right now, his average is at 200. His on-base percentage is at .233 and with an OPS of .515. Like,
yeah, it's getting worse, man. It's getting worse.
When you watch him, he's showing that he's more of a utility player than he is an everyday player. And that's more of the role that we wanted him in. But clearly, because of the circumstances, he can't be that. He has to play every day because that's what the circumstances are. So,
And not his fault either. That's the thing. It's Cashman. Like, he's in this bad position because of Cash. Peraza's playing third base and second base and anywhere but his actual position because of Cash. Like, in no world should you be dependent on three rookies. That's what I want to emphasize, the word dependent. I have no problem with them getting run, but like Peraza, like Volpe and Peraza were 1-2 yesterday. You're depending on these guys. I don't care what this is baseball. It's not the NFL draft or the NBA where you bring in these guys and you expect to make a big impact year one. Obviously, we have really high hopes in Volpe, but I don't care what three rookies they are, any three rookies in the world, you shouldn't be depending on them to make or break your season at any point.
And it's happening again. I know Bowers came in. Jake Bowers was unfortunately made a tremendous catch in the first inning. And it's the same thing. It's like, call up Bowers. We need him now. And I understand why Yankee fans are so desperate because they're grappling.
Well, they
anything.
Had to try something.
And they have to try something, but it's...
it's such a Yankee thing.
And that's why, even with Oswaldo, I mean, I'd rather have him in than Aaron Hicks, which I will get to because I don't want to talk about him. But... you know, it's all these complaints about what I tweeted it out the other day saying this. You would think sometimes with the complaints of the lineup that they're sitting Paul O'Neill or Bernie Williams, but that is the circumstances of what they have. But then it goes back to like none of these guys through 5 through 9 are hitting well or
none of them belong on any order anywhere. You know, they wouldn't play for many teams.
Yeah, I can't get to. The catchers, I can't, like, they're the catchers. There's nothing wrong.
Like, see, exactly. We shouldn't even have to think about them because their job is not to be offense.
But Aaron Hicks, Willie Calhoun, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Oswaldo Cabrera, just. It's not working right now.
But even IKF, like, he's in a role that he shouldn't be right now. He shouldn't be the starting center fielder.
Yeah, him and Oswaldo should be these utility guys. And I think if the Yankees have a healthy roster or have had a correct roster construction, that we'd be feeling perfectly fine with what you know, well, we'd probably want a little bit more from Oswaldo and a little bit more. But even then, you know, then they're in a more comfortable situation, as you said. They're not thrusted into this thing where it's like, well, you got to be 2019 Cameron Maven and Mike Tauchman and all this and absolutely hit the crap out of the ball and win us 100 games. Like, that's
not going
to happen.
That was juice ball era too, man.
Juice ball era,
yeah. That's literally juice ball era. I mean, I'm looking at the game two lineup in Texas was, I do believe, if you were to statistically run it down for the last however many years, it might be the worst lineup they've ever put out.
Very possible.
DJ, Rizzo, Glaber. That's the top three. Then you got Willie Calhoun, Oswald Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera, Franchi Cordero, Aaron Hicks, Kyle Higashioka, with Clark Schmidt on the mound against Jacob DeGrom. How does that even make sense?
It doesn't.
That's a crazy lineup, Rob. Willie Calhoun 4, Peraza 5, Cabrera 6, Franchi 7. Like, what?
Quick updates. Harrison Bader by Aaron Boone said could be activated for the Rays series. I hope he is. And then
he's not hitting in the minors either. Not that it matters.
Yeah,
but
Brian Hoke also says Aaron Judge is going through a light version of his pregame work. Aaron Boone said they should decide within the next half hour if Judge will go on the IL or not. So
if it's up to Judge, no chance he's going on it.
Yeah, but it may be. But then it goes back to this. I think we both said this, that if he is compromised,
put him on the IL.
So
we don't want him hurt. Yeah,
we don't want him just being run out there to be run out there because we wouldn't have wanted to have a state of the Yanks this early, but it kind of.
And yet,
it is what it is.
Obviously, putting Judge back in this lineup does wonders, but. It's not fixing Willie Calhoun, and it's not fixing.
Yeah, like, and to be fair, like Aaron Judge,
it's not fixing everything else.
I said this too, man. Aaron Judge had a 62 home run season last year, and at
he has to come down
the season. Yeah, he has to come down from that, you would think, like, just realistically.
It's just like it's almost impossible to do what he did
last
year.
So what he did last year was. Amazing. We loved it. And in a lot of areas, what his historic season did was made up for a lot of crap and a lot of holes the Yankees had towards the end of the season.
Yeah, especially when Benny was out and Carps.
And then, too, you factor in the Yankees got off to this historic hot start where all the whole entire rest of the offense in 2022 was really hitting, and then they hit their downstretch. Well, now... you factor in they're not off to a crazy hot start with the rest of the lineup, and now you're not having a 62 home run season from Aaron Judge, and he may have a little bit of an injury trouble right now. It's tough. It's tough. So,
and he's allowed to be banged up for 10 days, you know? He hasn't had that in 3 years. And, the lineup's terrible, Rob. Like, we all get that, but...
today's lineup is just...
the pitching's bad too, Rob.
Yeah.
I don't want to pick on Nestor too much, but he's had a bad three straight starts.
His first game was 7 earned runs, right?
Yeah, his highest ever. Yeah. But even excluding Nestor, I'll let him have a bad month. Like, whatever. He was, I don't want to say it, but he was more than, I don't know, there's a decent chance he could regress a little bit too. Not saying he's going to be bad, but he's not, I don't know if he'll put up, you know, potential Cy Young placing again this year. But Clark Schmidt shouldn't be starting. He actually can't get lefties out. That's all they talk about when he pitches. They're like, this guy cannot get lefties out. I think he gave up 10 hits in his last start. I'm pretty sure 7 of those hits were to lefties. He's in a position that he shouldn't be because of health, because we have no depth. Johnny Brito, he had, you know, those first couple good starts, Rob. He probably shouldn't be pitching anymore. We're at the very end of our depth everywhere. And Herman's whatever. We know we're getting out of Herman most of the time. So I don't even care about that. But you're leaning on a lot of guys that you shouldn't be leaning on. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to them. So everything is magnified. Like, I'm going to sit here and rip Clark Schmidt a new one because he's in a position to fail.
Yeah.
Just like Willie Calhoun is, just like IKF is, just like Peraza is. Not Peraza. Peraza's getting run. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. The one thing I will say with Clark, and I probably I don't know if you'll agree with me, probably not, but I know everyone, I'm really kind of out on him. I see the righty lefty splits, and I understand his ability to get righties out. And sure, that could be a valued pen piece, but this like idea that once he goes to the pen is going to turn into some Mariano Rivera or like a quality, I just don't. I'm not really big on him at all.
I'd rather have Albert Abreu starting games than Clark right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Like Clark should get the mop-up role.
That's what he is. That is.
He shouldn't be starting. Has he made it out of the third inning yet? I don't even know.
Well,
I mean,
no, he had.
I lied. He's made it out of the third.
He had that good start against Toronto, and then he had that where Boone left him in against.
You want to know why he had the good start against Toronto? Because they have a million right-handed hitters in that lineup.
Yeah.
Because he can't get lefties out, man.
And then he had the who did he pitch against? Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I think he went with 3.2 or something, and then. Here, keep going on Clark. I got to pull up Burrito's game logs real quick.
All right. So, like, my thing with Clark is I understand his ability to get righties out, and I think that holds value and somewhat.
Not as a starter, though.
But not as a starter, but even in the bullpen, I told you I could be perfectly fine with him not being on this team in 2024 or if they even decided to move him this year because I don't see what other people are seeing. I understand the ability to get the righties out, but they're a lot, even in these Yes Network post game interviews, they're jumping through hoops to pull like these positive parts from his game, and I understand why they're trying to do it, but I'm just out on him, and yeah, you're right.
And that's fine
for now. He's got to go in a long reliever role.
But unfortunately, there's no one to replace Clark.
Yeah, no.
So it's like
he has to be starting. But
goes back to the
front
office.
A little workshopping, though. You may be right. Like, put in Albert Abreu.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, it goes back to the front office. At the end of the day, they have two starting pitching injuries right now, which is not that it's not like abnormal. So. It's very normal for a couple starters to go down for some point in the season. You're never is a starting a full five healthy for the whole year. So how are you in a spot where Clark and Burrito are your literal only 7-8 starters, where they're filling in for Sevy and Rodon? So,
well,
I don't know, man.
It goes. It also goes back to with the signings that it's really It does not look good on Brian Cashman.
And we said it, Rob. We were like, I would have loved Michael Wacha, like as another depth piece when he got signed for nothing. Like random. It was a surprise to me. They never brought in anyone.
Yeah. No. But the depth thing, but also your number one acquisition has yet to pitch outside of Judge. And
he's got to pitch.
You don't have a the spot in which was a glaring hole and still is in your offense. And let me pull up this.
When was the last time they had a left fielder?
Let me
Aaron
pull
Hicks,
up their
2018?
Their exact offensive numbers of where they rank. But like they are
as a team?
As a team, they are Tyler, when was the last
terrible.
Time? When was the last time in the past 5-6 years of watching this Yankees core that you say they are not even top 15. Some of them are not even top 20 in this offense. It just shows you that, and we said, okay, they're going to have to become a more defensive-oriented team, good fundamental baseball on the base paths, which they've started to do with Volpe, and play good defense, and then let the pitching staff carry you, which they don't have two starters. But now it's like the offense has just falling off the face of the earth.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And when you look at these rankings of where they are offensively, I think as time will go on, hopefully, knock on wood, that they do get better in some respects. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they hang around for the entire year. It would not surprise me. Like we say, we love the home run ball, and that's what the Yankees are, and that's what we want them to do. But now it's like Well, they're not doing small. They're not even doing where before we were like, we want them to do small ball. Well, now the home run is kind of moving out where we don't want it to be. So
I mean, they can't do anything. They need two bats at a minimum. Like, I really don't even want to pick on Waldo because I still like him and I think he can have a solid career, solid year, whatever. They need an actual MLB proven bat in left field, whether it's a guy that hits 700 OPS and hits 240. You know, they need a quality bat in left field. They need to not depend on three rookies. Let Peraza play third for the next. Like, Peraza's a third baseman for the next month, man.
Oh, man, we're getting that. You know? We're getting that. The reinforcements in the form of Josh Donaldson, baby. Let's go. Yeah, also, this is gonna really piss you off. Jonathan Loaisiga is having a bone spur removed from his elbow and will be shut down for at least 3 to 6 weeks, according to Max Goodman. So that.
I mean, honestly, that's better than it sounded like TJ to me before. So
he will be out. Estimated return is said to be August or September for
six. Jonathan, he's going to be shut. What did you say? He's going to be shut down for 6 weeks?
Yeah, so no throwing for 6 weeks, and then he'd have to be ramped back up.
6 weeks from now, that'd be all of May would be June, would be 4 weeks. So he'd start throwing the middle of June. You got to think at least 3 weeks to ramp up. So you're talking second week of July. Yeah, dude. And then a rehab stint, another few weeks. Yeah, August, September, if this year. And if we're out of it, who cares? Don't even pitch him.
Yeah, no bueno, you know? Man. No bueno.
I don't know. Rob, I said it to you before the pod, before we started. I mean, May is the season. Because if they go, I don't know, 8-18 this month or something like that. I don't even know how many games that is. But if they lose a ton of games and they're sitting 8-9 games at under 500 and they're 15 games back of the division and 7 games back of the wild card. Guess what, guys? There's no trade coming. There's no, like, oh, let's save the season like 2021 when they were, you know, hovering on the wild card and stuff. We're not going to be saved. It's going to be too late. Yeah. So I don't know what their plan is, Rob. Like, Peraza does not have the same value as he had last year strictly because he's made his MLB debut. So
and he's
that,
been playing.
That, exactly. So now people they have like an idea. Oh, he looks like this against professional, you know, pitchers, whatever. So the element of surprise is gone there. So his value is decreased a little bit, in my opinion. You know, that could be, you know, up for debate. But so I don't know what the move is. I don't know if you can. Like, can they move Jason? Are they even willing to do that? Like, you can't move Jason for a rental. I mean, I think the thought was at some point, you know, maybe you'd get Ian Happ or you'd make a push for Brian Reynolds. Guess what? They both signed contract extensions, Rob. They read the market wrong. They screwed up big time on the market. They openly said they went after Benintendi. He said, screw you, I'm going to go to the White Sox. They suck. I mean, they read the market wrong, and they didn't go after, like, they could have Jock, man. They could have David Peralta, Teoscar. They could have anyone in left field. Ugh. Even if you want to say Waldo would still be the left fielder, they could have anyone else fulfill that DH role. Like, you need two DHs on this team, kind of, with the way things go sometimes. So
yeah, right now they are 8 back from Tampa.
Yeah,
their run differential. Tampa's run differential is 103. The Yankees is 2.
That's insane.
Like,
oh my god!
Like,
the division's not in our hands. Like, we no longer control own destiny.
Yeah, no. Tampa could really, in the span of a week, because I'm planning on going to one of the games. So
we could be 14 games back in 10 days.
Yeah. God only knows what's going to happen in that series at the stadium. But
you got to start winning series again.
Two series against this team, and it could be and the first one is at Tampa, which we know we hate, and that could be. They could bury you. Like, that could be the division where they just bury you and then they're
going to
Toronto.
And they like to do that. Yeah, and they like to do that. Remember 2021, Rob, last game of the season, where we needed to win to get into the playoffs?
Yeah.
And we were playing the Rays, and they pitched all their good relievers against us. Like, they tried to eliminate us from postseason contention or make us do that, like, extra playing
game. Kevin Cash loves to play that BS, man. He loves
to. Yeah, they want to step on our throat, and I don't blame them, you know? Like, They're going to play as hard. They don't care if they're 15 up or 30 up or 5 up or 2 up, you know, or 10 back. They're going to try and kill us, and it's looking like they will.
And,
I mean,
and we play at Toronto for 4. All
yeah,
right.
I don't know, man. I mean, like my biggest thing is this is the team for the next month. Like
yes.
What we keep seeing, Willie Calhoun in the 5 hole. Yeah, he'll drop down to 7 when Bader and Judge come back, but this is the team.
Yes, it is.
It's like someone needs to play better.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to say, and then I'll let you. I think you said you wanted to talk about Rizzo a little bit, but the thing, like Aaron Hicks being on this team is, I know that they don't have many options, but like the play that he made going almost crashing into IKF was, one, it was terrible communication, and it's the center fielder's ball, and it was, I thought it was a selfish play by Aaron Hicks, and he messed up another one when Cole was pitching, and Cole looked mad, clearly, and at this moment in time, I, $30 million left on that deal, and it's really, to have that guy on the team right now just makes no sense. He, at the plate, he's compromised, and now on the field, he can't even make the plays. Like, how do you
have him
on the team? He is, it started in spring training where he made 3 or 4 errors, and we go, oh boy, here it goes. And it carried into the regular season. And we're probably going to continue to see these miscommunications, these bad plays. Like, you could tell he wants to get out of New York,
mm-hmm.
and it's on the front office to just rip the Band-Aid off. It makes no sense for him to be on the team. It just, I don't know, man. Like, that play with him and IKF was a perfect example of, like, he's going to hurt the other the other guys on the team. That's what he's going to do.
He's a danger to himself, Rob, and he's
a danger
to everyone
himself.
Around
he's
him.
He's a danger to other people. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, so.
What happened, man?
It's 2018 Hicks is a long ways away.
It really goes back to the same thing, the inability to move on or disperse of players that are non-factors. And I'm going to throw – it's not IKF's fault because he's in his role or whatever. The inability to not move on from Donaldson, Hicks, or IKF is really bad. Like, mm-hmm. no teams have $40 million stashed away. And that's them. That equates their salaries between the three. Where you're just like, okay, these guys suck and we can't get rid of them, so we're just going to stash them in no man's land. Like, why can't they get rid of them? Why can't they eat 70% of the contract if they have to? Like,
and he's hurting the team. He's hurting the team.
Mm-hmm.
What's
Hicks' numbers on? Let me look.
Dude, he's hitting like 130, and his OPS is 300.
Yeah, I know his OPS was like 308 last I checked. I was like, oh my God. I want to see what
he has. One RBI. And
dude, he's played 17 games. He's got negative half a WAR. He's hurt. Like you said, he's hurting the team.
He is. He's just.
He's got an OPS plus of 12. Like, how do you slug 159, Rob? I think we can slug 159. Probably
just,
not, but
it's just not good, man. It's not good. It's not good.
Like, my buddy that's a Sox fan was trying to chirp me yesterday. He was like, what's going on, man? Knicks stink. Yanks stink. I'm like, all right, first of all, relax about the Knicks, buddy. Second of all, I was just like, dude, have you seen the lineups that we're rolling out? Like, I have no defense, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be better if my whole team was there and we just stunk. Like, 2021 and 2020, you know, Voight was stinking. DJ was playing hurt. Or no, DJ was playing well, but you get the idea.
The guys
they
you
were
got
just
on
the
team are, yeah, playing bad.
It's like
now we're just
we're fielding literal triple A teams. Like, I know Gabe Playoff Tanaka keeps tweeting, shout out him. He keeps going, Willie Calhoun has been the worst baseball player statistically for like 5 years, and he's hitting cleanup for us every day.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. Oh, but yeah, boy. I don't have much to say about Rizzo, honestly. I was just saying to you before we got in the pod, like, Rizzo's in a tough stretch right now, and you know, we got to lean on someone. So it's like Glaber, Volpe, and DJ are putting together good at-bats. They need Rizzo to I don't know, you know, put give me a 3-run homer or something.
Yeah. One sole bright spot on this team, I think, what we were also being chirped at when we made the Oswaldo conversation a thing, that people were deflecting and were saying, well, what about Anthony Volpe? Well, what about Anthony Volpe, yeah. I say to those people that were getting a little upset with us. This just in this week, he was awarded. If you guys go on our Instagram, you'll see we do our Savage of the Week. He was awarded our Savage of the Week because he had a good week this past week. 7 hits, 3 runs, 4 RBIs, 3 walks, 2 extra base hits, a .304 average, and a .385 on base percentage. He got a couple of knocks in that blowout win, which was against Minnesota, which seems like a whole while ago. He did make a few errors in the field, but the way that he plays, I'm not so nervous about that. So
yeah,
I think it's important to mention that. But overall, Anthony Volpe of this week has been the bright spot to me for this team, and it's very refreshing to see because I was hard on him when he had a tough start, and he is kicking ass, and that's what I hope to see, and that's what we are seeing with Volpe. So yeah, one bright spot that we do get.
Listen, I mean, it's very nice to see Volpe. I think the bat is coming full circle, Rob, finally. Not finally, because it's only been a month. I shouldn't say that. It's rude of me. But the bat's coming full circle. I think we're really seeing Anthony Volpe as a whole. And I said it, I think I texted it to you when I was super hyped. I was like, I truly think Volpe, you know, at the end of the year, you're probably going to list 10 shortstops, and he will be inching on that top 10 list somewhere. He'll make his way closer to that 10 spot sooner rather than later. So I think we're good on him. I think hopefully he'll continue to pan out and continue to improve. It's just everywhere else, man. I mean, I think Peraza's taking some good swings lately, making some hard contact. But like I said, he's going to be playing third for the month, the next month. If he stinks, Rob, for a month in a row,
there goes that.
What's his value? Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar, like, you know. So I don't know, man. It's frustrating. Like I can't even. I'm just gonna just keep saying it. Like, should have traded one of the infielders when you could have. Could easily have an outfielder, a good one, if you traded Peraza
to
like last year. Or in the off season.
So here it goes, man. It's early, but I think it is nut up, or put up, nut up, shut up time, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. May's gonna define it, man. Like seriously, I mean, you go ahead and you lose 18 games, the season's over.
Yeah, Cleveland tonight at the stadium, Herman versus Quantrill, and Cole versus Bibe. I think who's Bibe for Cleveland? Am I mispronouncing?
Isn't it not Tanner, Shane? Are you
Tanner,
saying Shane?
Tanner,
you're not saying Shane.
No,
Bieber,
no, Bieber's right? The night after. I'm looking on ESPN. Okay. It's Bibe, B-I-B-E-E.
I don't know.
So, and then Clark Schmidt versus Bieber for Wednesday, which should be fun. And then you
look
go to
at
Tampa,
Clark getting DeGrom, and he's getting Shane Bieber.
Yeah,
you have to win the series against Cleveland. I don't care how you do it.
You got it's it has be a lot to be of done because it has to be done because then you play Tampa, and I think they could lose that series.
And you could get swept for all we know.
Yeah, and then you play Oakland the next week. Sorry that it had to be more.
Let's see Twitter if before we get off, if Judge made it.
Yeah. But I apologize that it has to be a little down pod, but it has to be a conversation that's had, and we've been very optimistic, but right now it just doesn't give me any reason to be optimistic at this moment in time. I sent you that tweet of that. You know, talking, well, the 2019 or 2009.
I can't stand them, man.
It's just stop it. Because you want to know.
The comparisons.
The comparisons, because you want to know what? Guess what? Last year we were talking about, the 2022 Yankees are off to the hottest start. They may win 128 games. This is the best start since 1998. And then August happened.
Yeah, the worst month ever.
So every year is different. Everything is different. But except this year's team is largely the same, and I think we're going to get worse results because the saying I think that comes to mind is you got worse by staying the same, and it's you remain
and adding
stagnant.
No depth.
And you got Rodon, you retain Judge, very good. The other reliever you spent $11 million on is on the shelf, and those were your offseason moves outside of, you know, working, like you said, working internally with Volpe, and that's, and you're relying on three rookies to bring you through. It could get really bad.
So. Let me tell you one more thing before we get off, Rob. Yeah. What if I told you Jordan Montgomery would be by far the Yankees' second best pitcher right now if he was on the team?
I saw he got.
Like he's
off
having to a he's having a phenomenal.
I thought he had a tough like few first starts. Let me look at his.
He's got a 3.3 ERA, 35 innings.
Oh
pitched.
No, he's playing well.
Yeah, 1.25 ERA plus.
Yeah so
man.
He
I mean,
back
where's
in.
Bader right now? Like, listen, I love Bader too, and it just goes back to us being confused by that trade. Like, where was the logic behind it? I don't know. I mean. And I think we both like Bader, but
you got to be on the field.
You got to play, man. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
and we knew that with Bader going into it too.
Yeah, we did, and Cashman hopefully knew it. But that is it for episode 142. Hopefully we're talking the next time. We're talking about some series wins, but outlook is not the greatest right now in Yankee land. I would say.
Literally, the only positive you can take is that the Yankees are above 500 in April.
Yeah,
that's it.
Credit to those that are glowingly optimistic and think that this team is going to be absolutely fine and that we shouldn't be concerned at all. But I can't help but not be concerned.
I'm not going to say the season's over right now because it's not, but it can be fast.
Yes, agreed. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Greatly appreciate it. Helps us out. Follow us on our social medias on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, as well as YouTube. Let's hopefully the next episode we're talking some better conversations and some more positive things. But only time will tell, and we'll have to see the next episode. So thank you for listening to episode 142. We'll catch you at episode 143. Peace.